Baptist Chapel for February 17, 1981. The speaker today is Dr. Marion Frey, Visiting Professor of Missions.
What follows is the chapel address for Tuesday, February the 17th, 1981. The speaker for today is Dr. Marion L. Frey. The message is entitled Missions, Obligation, or Opportunity.
Almighty and eternal God, creator of the universe and sustainer of our souls, we worship thee. O thou who art evermore ready to hear us than we are to hear thee, grant us in this hour the grace of receptivity, that with warm hearts we may welcome the spirit of goodness, beauty, and truth. Come into our consciousness, lay hold on our faith, steady our faltering spirits, and send us out refreshed to those tasks to which thou hast intended us today, for the good of thy kingdom and the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. in whose name we pray. Amen. Each semester, it is our privilege at Southeastern to welcome to the campus visiting missionary teachers under a program created by a gift by the late Mr. A.J. Fletcher of Raleigh. We term these visitor teachers Fletcher Visiting Professors of Mission, and they come to us fresh from the field with current understandings of the missionary task and the challenges and opportunities that face us today, bringing a freshness and an immediacy that is a great enrichment to our program of instruction. Last semester, you may recall Dr. Luther Copeland returning from a recent renewed stint as chancellor of a large Baptist university in Japan, whose name I can't pronounce, was with us in teaching the missionary course in the Orient. This semester, our visiting teacher is conducting a course, as far as I know, we've never taught before on mission area studies focusing on Africa. It is my pleasure to present as the leader of our meditation today, Marion Frey, Jr., better known to some of us as Bud, and one of his strengths is that he came to us direct from Arkansas. Bud and June Frey are visiting with us this semester. He is a graduate of Ouachita and Southwestern, where he earned his doctor's degree. Since 1957, he has been on the missionary appointment to Africa, serving predominantly in Eastern and Southern Africa, and currently serves as the field representative for Southern Africa. We are glad that they are here. We want to make them welcome, and we hope that you will avail yourselves of the opportunity not only of the formal opportunities for knowing them through class work that they are doing both in the MDiv and the associate program, but that you will watch out for them and take advantage of times for informal conversation and for fellowship. Bud will lead our worship after the reading of the scripture, which is found in John 17. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me.
Dean Myberg and students at Southeastern Seminary, it's my joy to be here today. I welcome the opportunity to just share a little bit with you what the Lord has been doing over the last 24 years in my life and the life of my wife who is here with me. It's a real privilege to be associated with Southeastern. We had felt very burdened to the Lord that on this furlough, He would give us added contacts with students who are preparing for full-time Christian service. And I feel like this is a direct answer to prayer. So I've told my students already that there will not be a day in any one of my classes in which I will not be under divine appointment. I am here sent of the Lord. I accept this opportunity today to humbly share with you something of what the Lord has said and is saying to my own heart. Mission, the purpose of God on earth and His activity. Is it merely an opportunity or is it also an obligation? That's a brief statement of what I want to talk to you about today. I'm deeply indebted to Dr. W.L. House, former teacher of mine who visited us in Africa shortly before his death. I shall never ever forget that stirring evening we had with this grand old teacher of the Word of God who's labored so long at the Sunday School Board and Southwestern Seminary and in many other ways. He said, I never ever began a course or an academic school year or wrote a curriculum material at the Sunday School Board. Never in my career did I ever engage in those activities, but what I had written at the top of the page, how will this help fulfill the Great Commission of Jesus? That explains, in my opinion, to a large degree, the greatness of the life of Dr. W.L. House. I believe the purpose of all revelation, as we know it in the Word of God, and the redemptive activity of our Heavenly Father on earth, is in relation to His purpose. His purpose being the redemption in Christ of all peoples of the earth through our Lord Jesus, resulting in the building of the church, the body of Christ on earth, and the eternal family of our Father in heaven. The miraculous outworking of this purpose in the just one life is what I bear testimony of this morning. The excellency is never in the vessel, as you all know. The excellency is within the treasure within. This is what our Father does through His gospel, through His commission to us. I submit to you this morning that the mission of our Father, the mission of the Lord Jesus, as expressed in His prayer read by Dean Myberg, And if you picked up the purpose statements that were listed there in that brief passage out of our Lord's prayer for his disciples, was that the world may believe that I was sent. And secondly, he says also that the world might know that you sent me. The purpose of our Heavenly Father on earth, building his church through redemptive active, his body through whom he will live and express his life on earth through service, and also that will comprise his eternal family in heaven. This I believe to be the purpose of our Heavenly Father, what it's all about, we might say. The miracle of the birth of the church, I try to communicate to the students in my class. I've watched the church born through the new birth in the hearts of peoples in our part of the world in a most miraculous way. In instances, it has been through direct preaching of the Word of God through a, quote, ordained minister of God. More often than not, the birth of the church has come through simple testimony of a layman who has come to love the Lord Jesus, having received him into his heart with his whole heart. And lay people, as they bear simple testimony of the grace of God and what it does, our Father quickens that seed of eternal truth, and the church is born. I watched it happen through young people. I watched it happen through a young prostitute girl as she went back to her villages where she lived from our station, having just gotten caught up in a revival down in the area where Jane and I lived. Went back with new life pounding in her breast. And an entire series of villages came to the feet of Jesus through her testimony. Incidentally, she was the only preacher they had for 2 years. Quite different than our normal Baptist accepted pattern. But the Lord used this marvelously to bring to birth that part of his body, his church in that area. I've watched it happen in homes. I watched it happen in one community. We had no way to get there. And the Lord brought a pregnancy and so positioned the pregnancy in the body of one mother in that community that she couldn't give birth to that child. And the story unfolded that we flew her over to our little Baptist hospital. She got to know Jesus, named her little baby Ndegi, which means airplane, and came back home with a love for Jesus in her heart and the Word of God there, and a church was born. And all my efforts, I had worked and sought and visited and labored and prayed, and then the Lord, in his very simple way, brought to birth the church in that area. Isn't that a miracle? That's the purpose of God on earth, my dear friends, to bring to earth his body, his life on earth, that it also may one day be received back to him in heaven. The unswerving purpose of God for revelation and history, in my own opinion, is that redemption would be made known to all peoples everywhere. Jesus said, "My Father so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." He prayed, "O Father, as you sent me into the world, I'm sending this band of your believers, that the world may know, that the world may believe. As you go, make disciples of all the nations." This is the plan and the purpose of God. Jesus said, "This building of my church, I will do through my Spirit's activity, through my children." All nations, all nations, all nations. This is the theme right through the Scripture. This was a problem for the Jews. As early as Abraham, they tried to lock the gospel up amongst the Jewish nation. The revelation of salvation, they said, was just for us. And the Heavenly Father worked to bring it out of that little confined area and amongst those confined people and share that message with the entire world. The New Testament record of this is similar. These early disciples, shortly after the Lord's death and resurrection, they found themselves locked up in an upper room, and here again the problem was there, was evident. They wanted to lock the gospel up in an upper room. They certainly were skeptical about whether the Samaritans next door to them even could be saved. And they doubtless felt that the Gentiles, which is the word for those outside of their own race and their own peoples, could never be saved. And this struggle, this tension in the New Testament is the very focal point of the early life of the church through the book of Acts. And the purposeful activity of our Heavenly Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, and the acts of the Holy Spirit kept breaking away and breaking down these barriers, both old and new, that the gospel might reach out and be out on the streets of the earth and eventually get out to all nations. This constitutes not only the purpose of our God, but the heartbeat of our Heavenly Father. In relation to this purpose, I would like to give you a little bit of information about the opportunity of sharing the gospel today. In an unprecedented way, the gospel has never been as effective as it is this day. Our world is more lost, yes. We have over 3 billion lost peoples in our world. There are more of them. It is more lost. It is more needy. More folks are starving to death today than ever before, despite our technology. But our world also is more winnable to Jesus than it has ever been in history. Bishop Stephen Neal, after taking a sweeping look at mission history and the history of the church on earth, came up with this statement, and I quote, "For the first time in history, we have a world religion, and that religion is Christianity." He substantiates that statement by saying that in this world of over 4 billion peoples, for the first time, any religion in history now numbers over 1 billion, and that religion is Christianity. Peter Wagner, a young missiologist whom I greatly respect, says, "We are in the springtime of missions. This is our day." The Evangelical Christianity New Letter reports from their computer that printed out a digest of worldwide conversions reported by all denominations under the general umbrella of Christianity, that there are now 63,000 people converted to Christ every day. That's today. That there are established each week 1,600 new churches around the world. Christianity isn't in retreat. We have the opportunity of plugging into the purpose of God, which is mission, sharing the life of God through the planting and the developing of His church around the world. In Latin America, there is a 10% per annum church growth rate down south of the border. Brazilian Baptists in particular are planning a major evangelistic crusade very shortly. God is moving amongst the Guatemalan Indian peoples. There's mighty revival that is presently going on in Guyana. If you were to go to the Far East, this week and next week, the last 2 weeks of February, you could visit the Philippines. And the Baptists of the Philippines have a crusade going on that they have planned for 30,000 professions of faith, and they believe God is going to give it to them. They believe that they will baptize at least 10,000 of these into the Philippine Baptist churches in the very near future. Recently, Florida Baptists shared in a New Life campaign in South Korea. We were just one part of that. There were millions who heard the gospel in that thrust. But the Florida Baptists, in conjunction with our Southern Baptists and the South Korean Baptists, reported 21,000 professions of faith in our churches. The gospel is not in retreat. Mission is not fading out. It's on the ascendancy. If you would plug into where the action is and where God is, even as far as we're concerned, personally or as an institution, or as a local church in this area, I would submit to you, your finest opportunity is to move in the direction of mission, planting and developing the body of Jesus wherever you may be. Missiologists believe that China will still be probably the greatest harvest field in Christian history, and there are real reasons for that belief. A very recent, by the way, Sam James, who was here briefly on our campus just a couple of months ago, Sam reported in wonderful, glowing terms of faith what the Baptists are finding as they're regrouping in China, mainland communist China. That very, very recently, as a matter of fact, just a few years ago, officially declared Christianity is dead in the Republic of China. It's far from it. The life of Jesus will never die, and his church will never die. The opportunity we have to share that which will forever live, what an opportunity is mission. The government of Thailand recently informed the Baptists of that land, "You," and I quote, "you are free to use our radio to share the gospel of Jesus Christ." What an opportunity is ours. In Africa, in our current study, in this class here on our campus, we have discovered that by the year 2000, they expect that very nearly 800 million people will live on that vast continent. But an even more startling statistic is that according to the current church growth rate, presently going on from 1955 to 1980, at the current church growth rate, there will be in excess of 375 million believers on the continent of Africa, almost one half of the entire population. In that event, it will be the most populated, Christian-populated continent on earth. I told my class about one little group of people in Eastern Africa. You perhaps have heard this story. How marvelous! A high school principal got a vision of the Lord for a peoples in eastern Kenya. Historically, were Muslim. Nobody was working amongst them evangelistically. They were hardened as far as religion was concerned. But he had a vision and a burden. They organized a campaign amongst those people. He wanted 26 weeks of campaign, village by village, two by two, sharing of the gospel. This was his plan. They would come behind that with two teams of two who would do follow-up work. And behind that, they had two teams of leadership trainers from our seminary following them. They eventually wound up with 40 weeks in the campaign. And when the dust was cleared, we had 115 new Baptist churches. That's what God is doing. The opportunity that is ours in mission. I want to close this morning with our obligation. Our Lord Jesus says, "You are my witnesses. All of you are my witnesses." And sharing this global message for a world that is desperately in need of life, this is your responsibility. You are my witnesses. A categorical statement of fact as far as the church is concerned. Technological advances has said that now we can bounce the gospel off of satellites and over iron curtains and over bamboo curtains. It is technologically possible for us to share the gospel with every creature in our generation. That's our opportunity. It's also our obligation. I sometimes hear folks say, "Brother Bud, I'm expecting God to call me to missions." Well, he's done that long ago. He's commissioned you already to mission, singular. That's why we're in his body. We are under orders to share his life wherever we are with all peoples everywhere. Isn't it thrilling to know that this is God's plan, that he has chosen to use his children in this sharing of the gospel? Listen to this quote that I wrote down from Keith Falconer. A noble Scotchman, a brilliant Cambridge scholar, and became a pioneer missionary to the Muslims.
while vast continents still lie shrouded in almost utter darkness, and hundreds of millions suffer the horrors of heathenism and Islam, the burden of proof rests on you to show that the circumstances in which God has placed you were meant to keep you out of the mission field. That's an interesting statement. I think I know where Dr. Parks gets his philosophy. The burden of proof is upon us to prove that our circumstances are such that we can't be out somewhere in mission. That's the purpose of God for all of us. Building this family through the sharing of the gospel, regardless of borders or peoples or ethnic groups, our responsibility to all men everywhere. Don't lock up the gospel. Stay near to the purpose of God, to the heartbeat of God. Pray about it much. We ask for 5 minutes a day for you to pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into a needy and very, very hungry world. Give as you've never given. We're giving less than a postage stamp a day to world missions, we Southern Baptists are. We give less than what it costs to put in one little grocery bag when we shop one time at the grocery store to world missions everywhere. 19 out of 20 of all of our preachers stay in the United States. But the problem is 19 out of 20 of all the lost peoples of the world are outside of the United States. That does constitute a problem, dear friends. Preach about the gospel. Send and serve. How we pray that the Lord would invade all of your lives as well as our own and make us an answer, a part of the answer to our world's heart cry. Dr. Cawthon recently said, "There is no bargain basement in this enterprise. It will cost all that we are capable of bringing to the feet of our Lord Jesus." Bold mission thrust. Not a new idea. Our Father started it long ago. A mission that I feel is worthy of your consideration. May you plug into the heartbeat of God. Spiritual success is seeing what the Lord purposes to do and then you getting in step with Him. Mission. Your opportunity, your obligation. Let's pray together. Gracious Father in heaven, in the blessed name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, for bringing us to yourself, including us in your family. Thank you for the trust of the gospel. Thank you for the thrust of the gospel, oh Lord. Thank you for what you're doing in our generation, the challenge and opportunity that is ours now. Father, we pray that we as a people, we as an institution here, would be very near to your purpose and to your heartbeat. Now, our Father, as we go, we pray that your grace, all sufficient, the love of Jesus shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit, would make the gospel live now and until Jesus comes. Amen.